back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to bring in my pal Mike Faulkner, who was former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Professor of Finance at University of Maryland, and the Chief Economist at the America First Policy Institute. You know, Michael, talking about the student loans again, I want to get to the inflation pickup in a sec, but you reminded me on air. By the way, this is the second time you've done that, because a year ago you were talking about how energy prices permeate the economy. That was your line. And then I went back and found all these hundreds of things that they permeated, petroleum prices. But now you reminded me about student loans, that Obama needed the money to finance Obamacare. And so I went back and looked at this, and there's not much, but the GAO did a study a couple years ago that basically said it was a $300 billion differential. Instead of making $100 billion, they're going to lose $200 billion because some of the loans had been deferred during COVID. But now Biden has upped it so much, Michael, I don't know how much money they're going to lose.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. All right, we're going to resume our conversation with Mike Faulkner, who's a professor of finance at University of Maryland, former assistant secretary of the Treasury for Economic Policy, and the chief economist of the America First Policy Institute. So, Mike, just you were hustling out some numbers that were even bigger than this thing I found. Just look, this is illegal, first of all. That's the main point. I wrote my column on the illegality of this. And also, right, the numbers don't work because there are far more young people without loans than there are with loans. But what do you think this is going to go into spending and debt creation, deficit. So what do you think the number is?
Well, this is exactly the problem, Larry, is that there's no appropriation coming from this. It's just an administrative change that they make, but there's no budget for it. Mm. And so CBO just updates the baseline based upon rules. This is why one of the most important things that the next administration really needs to do is work with Congress to create a regulatory budget, to say that if there are budgetary implications from the drafting of rules, that requires some kind of budget or an appropriation from Congress. Because, you know, if you look at the most recent update from the CBO, they said that the way that the Biden administration has gone about, for instance, the implementation of the Inflation Reduction Act, that they did it, they crafted the rules in a way that was much more generous than CBO originally interpreted the legislation. They altered the baseline, if I recall, by about $1 trillion.
Yep. That's what some of the outside, but, you know, Penn, Wharton, because those credits, those tax credits, for example, and probably the subsidies, but the tax credits were there was no time restraints on them. It could go on forever.
Not only were there no time constraints, but they did not abide by the sourcing requirements. You know, they were supposed to only be available if a certain portion of the EV was constructed either in the United States or with certain trading partners. Mm. But, you know, they crafted them in a way that were much more generous. And then, if I recall correctly, the other piece is that there were income caps in terms of which consumers were eligible for them, but there's a separate provision for leases. You know, it was designed for fleet leases. Right. But then what they did is they opened up the leases to the wealthy so that they could still get the tax credit.
Right. Right. So that's going to cost a fortune. But so this student loan thing, I mean, between loan repayments and interest payments, they're going to be short by hundreds of billions of dollars. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
Hundreds of billions of dollars. And ironically, that money was supposed to be designated to cover Obamacare. Ha, ha, ha.
Exactly.
All right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the consumer price index is rising at about 4.5% annually over the past 3 months. And that's a big shocker. Shocked Wall Street. It's going to shock the Fed. And I wonder what you thought about that, because you know, judging from some of these, first of all, bond yields have gone up, as you know, and gold has gone up, and commodity prices have gone up, et cetera, et cetera. This looks like inflation still is going to be very stubborn and is actually moving in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. But if you look at the Biden administration's policies and their budget blueprint, this is, to a great extent, should have been expected, because if you continue to run massive deficits at a time where you largely have full employment and at the same time are engaging in a massive regulatory rewrite that's constraining supply, you're constantly talking about tax increases. Where are you going to get a reduction from inflationary pressures, right? So if we keep pumping more money into the economy through deficit-financed government spending, and then you tell energy companies that if you bother to update your refinery capacity, that they're going to impose massive new requirements on you. You saw yesterday the Biden administration came out and greatly increased the fees and financial requirements in order to do oil and gas leases on federal land. All of these things are inflationary. Mm-hmm. The notion that you can then leave it to the Fed to overcome bad fiscal policy and bad regulatory policy entirely through monetary policy is not going to work.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
So as the first half of the year, the budget deficit is $1 trillion. So you could be run rate of $2 trillion for the year. And $2 trillion, that's pretty close to CBO's long-run baseline. I had Kevin Hassett on the TV show yesterday. You know, you're looking at $2 trillion deficits as far as the eye can see, give or take. But these things you're talking about are going to push it even higher. So we're right, and it's not a revenue shortfall, Michael. It's a spending increase, which is inflationary. So Doug Holtz-Eakin was saying, you know, Dougie, he's a smart guy. So he was saying, look, you've got government spending, which is stimulating consumer demand. Okay, I'm sure that's true up to a point, but you're not getting the business supply, the equipment and machinery production that you need on the supply side. So demand is pushed by government. Demand is outstripping supply. That is inflationary.
Absolutely, right? This is just basic economics, that if you simultaneously spur demand while constraining supply, instead of it being a quantity reaction, instead of getting growth out of it, it's going to be a price reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you're going to get well in excess of 2%. And the idea that what you want is the Fed to come in and then raise interest rates even farther in order to offset this, that's just going to exacerbate the affordability problem that a lot of young people in particular are having. And so it's ironic that they're sitting there saying, well, we need to help young people with things like home ownership because mortgage rates are so high. And instead of actually engaging in activities that would help us bring down mortgage rates, instead they keep doing things like student loan forgiveness that only help a subset, but that increased spending puts then pressure on interest rates so that they go up and you end up offsetting it.
Well, I look at market rates are rising again. They have been for the past month. I mean, I think all these so-called Fed rate cuts are off the table. Now, Joe Biden is pushing the Fed to cut rates. I think that's gone, Mike Falkender.
Yeah, I do as well, because I don't know how if you look at the 300,000 headline number on the jobs report a week and a half ago, and then you couple that with the most recent inflation number, what is the case to be made that interest rates are, that the interest rates need to come down? They're twice their inflation target, and they're not yet seeing any drawback on employment. There's no reason, from just a pure Taylor rule type evaluation, to bring interest rates down.
Well, actually, you've got Larry Summers started this, former Harvard president, Treasury Secretary. He's a smart guy, Democrat, smart guy. Larry Summers started this about a month ago, and he said, I think he put it, Mike Faulkner, he said there's a non-zero probability that the next move by the Fed would be a rate hike. And then I saw in the Larry Lindsay, our friend Larry Lindsay, basically just came out and said the same thing, except suggesting the probability was higher than we thought and might come after the election. And he cited, and this is great, Faulkner, he cited Janet Yellen, who's just been the terrible Treasury Secretary, but a smart woman, not a bad Fed chair. And she raised rates after the 2016 election when Trump was elected. I think she raised it a couple times, but she waited until after the election. So now, interesting hypothesis, is that going to happen again?
Well, and, you know, the other person who came out was Jamie Dimon put out his letter to shareholders a week ago, also said that the next rate move might be an increase. He put on the table that rates could get as high as 8% in his letter, I believe.
So did he? The funds rate?
That's my recollection of it. I'll have to pull it again. But
that's very cool. For listeners, it's now 5.5.
Yeah. So he said there's an enormous range of potential interest rates on the horizon if we don't get our economy in order.
Well, I think in order here means stop spending, and they're not going to do that. That's trouble with Joe Biden. What is his economic policy? Spending and regulating, top down, telling us how to live, telling us which choice, what cars to buy, what cars not to buy. He's not going to stop. He doesn't talk about it, Mike Faulkner, because he knows it's unpopular, but that's his policy. He's not going to change.
Good. And if you look at it, because they're worried about losing the election, they've got the regulatory state in overdrive trying to get a bunch of rules finalized so that they're not subject to Congressional Review Act. So if anything, the regulatory burden is going to go into hyperspeed for the next couple of months so that they can get it all done and it can't be undone immediately upon the next Congress.
I'll tell you, he's in deep trouble, and I am not shedding any tears about that, and you aren't either. Anyway, folks, Mike Faulkner, thanks for staying over. We appreciate it. Again, Mike is teaching at University of Maryland. He's Assistant Secretary for the Treasury, formerly, and America First Policy Institute Chief Economist. Great stuff.